It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time. And again, we count it our privilege to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. Now, if you have, and we hope that you do, your Bibles in front of you, will you please turn with us, if you will, now to the little book of Jonah. We had a letter here, or a little note that was mailed to us here just a couple of weeks ago. And a young man said, he said, "I'm tired, Pastor Younce, of hearing you say, would you please open to a certain book?" And you ought to say, open to a certain book, because we all ought to have our Bibles open and ready to go. So maybe I should do it a little more authoritatively. I don't know. But anyway, I thought I'd relate that to you. So I'll try to do a little better. Instead of asking, we'll just assume that you have your Bibles there. And we'll open here to Jonah. Now, we're over here to the little book of Jonah in chapter 2 now, and follow with me if you will. Or chapter 3, I should say. We found out in the first chapter here that God had said, "Jonah, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh." Jonah said, "But the Lord." Then we found out through all the trials, the troubles that he had here, he died, had a resurrection, which typifies our spiritual life here, also represents the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But spiritually speaking now, we are dead when we are not spiritually now, when we are not serving the Lord or obeying what he wants us to do. Then we come over here again to chapter 3, where we're at here this morning. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Rise, go to Nineveh." And now in verse 3, a very important thing, Jonah yields to the will of the Lord, says, "All right, Lord, no more buts." So Jonah rose, and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now we come down to verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, and he said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Little did the city know that God had a time limit upon them as to how far he was going to let that city go. It was filled with wickedness, and yet he had his prophet in there. He said, "Jonah, go on to him and tell him, I'm going to reveal to you what the future of that city is going to be." They got 40 days, and that's all she wrote. You know, folks, when you stop and analyze the situation here, now I'm just going to pull this out here just a second, but you look at the United States of America, and it's a very frightening situation. You look at our Supreme Court, who seems to be passing everything against the decency and the righteousness and what this country was founded upon. I think the Pelham are a mess of misfits, if you want the truth. I wish somebody would have the power to clean that whole Supreme Court out and get some good God-fearing men in there that were going to really back our country. I really do. And yet we have found it on the Word of God. Our Sunday schools were some of our first schools ever in this country here. And yet today we can't even have prayer in it. Everybody's going to sue everybody and everything. We have an atheist like Madeline Murray O'Hara rises up and brings our Supreme Court, who are supposed to be men of God, they're supposed to be men who stand on the Constitution, make them bow down on their knees, one woman. And our country, it seems like, has just been turned into a farce. Every little loophole we can find to let a criminal go, it doesn't matter whether he killed somebody, killed his whole family. Anything that's decency and righteous seems anymore is put down. Yet the criminal, just everything about our country, our foundation, all the foundation that our country was built upon, seems to be absolutely going to pieces. God is just like a password anymore. Yes, there are still institutions here that teach the Bible. Probably most of Christendom is centered in America here. This is the outreach center of the world, no doubt. But what it used to be some 200 years ago, and yet it's unbelievable. One may often wonder, I just wonder how long God's going to let America go. And when you know anything about Bible prophecy at all, and I just happen to be thinking about this, we're relating this to Nineveh now. He said, "You know, Jonah, tell them they've only got 40 days to go yet, and then I'm going to destroy them if they don't turn to me, and then put off their wicked deeds." And you know, when you look at America like it is today, and you study Bible prophecy, you do not find anything in the Bible anywhere about the United States of America. And that's sort of significant, because it's sort of fearful in a way, because you look at Russia in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, you look at Israel in chapter Ezekiel 36 and 37 being brought back into the land. Then you see Russia attacking Israel and God absolutely annihilating her off of the face of the earth, Russia that is, and all of her satellites, names five of her allies. And yet we find nothing about the United States of America, and it must break the heart of God as he looks down upon this once great nation that we are here. We see the Trilateral Commission controlling this country and the big banking systems and the Rockefellers and the David Rockefellers and all the banking, the International Banking Service. We look up then to Washington, the United Nations, the greatest spy ring ever centered, and we allow it here in America. We ought to kick the whole pile of them out. The United Nations, the building we're footing probably over half of the bill anyway. But I'm not saying that complaining. I'm just saying when you analyze the situation in the last days that we are in, and you seemingly our leaders we have trusted, Mr. Stokes, he gets arrested twice, a senator, for drunken driving, and yet nobody can do anything with him. But if you and I were to run a stop sign down here, we'd pay much more fine than what this congressman who is supposed to be setting the example here, and yet he gets twice stopped for drunken driving, couldn't even pass the sobriety test here, the walking test, yet he's turned free. And we look at the things of our country and just how it's falling to pieces. We just wonder how long God will stand that. I wonder how close we are, if we're as close as Nineveh is, with the wickedness of that city. And yet, it seems like, of course, I agree with many other leaders, I would love to see things happen to turn this country around, but it never will happen, folks. It's not going to happen. You don't turn it around, and I'm sure that when God spoke to Jonah and he said, you go in and cry unto the city of Nineveh, he didn't start a moral majority. He didn't say go in and turn the congressmen around, the senators around. You turn a country around when you get them saved, folks. That's how you turn a country around. You don't turn them around by siphoning money out of them and everything else. He said, Jonah, you go cry unto Nineveh, and you tell them about me. Forget the congressmen. They're not going to do a thing. Forget the senators. They're not going to do a thing. I remember reading, it was sort of funny, that there were some folks that were on a trip, and they were up in Washington. And anyway, they said, who is that man standing over there by the Capitol building? And the guy told them, said, well, that's the chaplain. And they said, well, what does he do? Does he pray for the Congress and pray for the Senate? And the guy said, no, what he does, he goes in, and after he looks at the Senate and looks at the Congress, he prays for the nation. That's what he does. Well, I can see that. You know, we are in a sad shape. But you know, there's some good principles here. He said, Jonah, you go in and cry unto Nineveh. Don't start a moral majority. Don't start all these movements. Don't start that. You go in there and you tell them that God is about to render judgment upon them. And how you turn a nation around, folks, is you win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you teach them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You get the old nature out and the new nature in, and you teach them God wants them and that they are created unto good works. You teach them in Romans 12 to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only the reasonable service. You teach them these things, and that's how you make good citizens out of people. You get them born again, born from above. You get them saved. You tell them about Christ. You don't go through the senators and the congressmen. You go to people with the Lord, get them indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God by faith in Christ, and then you have a transformation. That's how you change a nation. But folks, I'll tell you truthfully, you're not going to change America, so don't get your hopes up. America is too far gone. But I often wonder, how far are we, folks? Are we 40 days away? America does not have to be existing in the last days. Russia does. And it's a very frightening situation. And I think when you look at the overall prophecy here, no, we're not in Bible prophecy, that it ought to call every Christian to cry out to God for mercy, to spare this nation, because folks, there's not much left that we could be convicted for being a Christian in this nation when you look at our courts, our senators, our congressmen, and you look at the United States of America compared to 150 or 200 years ago, we have hit the pits, folks, if you want to face reality. Dear Lord, I hope you'll spare her until you come at the rapture. That ought to be the cry of each one of us. But Jonah went unto Nineveh, and he did. And when he preached there, he proclaimed a fast. Now notice in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Too bad America doesn't. And proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. You know what? A nation goes as its leader does, folks. You know that? A church will go as its leader goes. A home will go as its leader goes. And I'm going to bring in a principle here, if I may, because I've never seen so many in these last days divorces taking place among so-called Christian people. And everyone that it seems like here that we talk to, and I want to throw this out because maybe you're a Christian and maybe your home is about to be broken up. I want to inject this here while we're on these messages here of Jonah because I believe it has a tremendous application. When it says here that the king here, that in authority, the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. That's where it starts, folks, at the top. And you know, so many times, and we tell each married folks this, especially the men, when we have them in to talk to them or try to give them some principles here, it's going to make their marriage work. I always tell them, sir, it's up to you first, not your wife. You first. You are the head of the home. You start and be that kind of a man that God wants you to be, and you're going to find out that your wife is looking for things she can respect in you, and when you do them, she will respond. And you know what it is here? The king started here, and the people responded because of a leader, because of someone they could respect. They respected the king here, and I might say this practically in your home. If you're the man of the home, you've got to start. Maybe your home's going to pieces. And I'll tell you this, how in the world sometimes when you come in and you counsel people in marriages, I'll tell you this, a woman wants a man who she can look up to and who she can respect, who she can trust to work things out, who she can rely upon when to take care of things and situations. And many times they'll respond. And yet I see the men, sometimes you tell them these things, and it just seems like, you know, well, now let her do it first, let her do it first. But you know what? It's the man's responsibility. God put him the head of the home. And so many times we wonder why Christian marriages don't work. You know what? Because the man's not doing his part. Won't get up, bring his family to church. Won't take care of the home situation. Won't do this, won't do that. Then wonder why his wife doesn't respect him. It isn't any wonder she doesn't respect him. She never will, unless he does the things that that demand respect and the way God wants them to do. The king here arose. He led the people. You're the man of the house. We're applying this practically now. You get yourself in order. Be the kind of man God wants you to be. Do the things so your wife can depend upon you. Be that kind of Christian man. Start saying grace at the meal. Start getting up carrying your Bible. Do things that your wife will respect. She'll respond to you with love. When you do those things, she can respect. And God wants you to do that. Just a practical application out of Jonah going to Nineveh. The king started it from the top. He was the top dog, and the people followed. You'll find that in your life if you're the leader. Now we come on down here and begin to find out in verse 7, if you will. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, and let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, and yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence which is in their hands. Man, he started to clean up things around that great city of Nineveh. Did he ever? But he was the chief man. He was the king. He had the authority to do it. And the people will follow a strong leader. And that's what this man was here. He spared that city for another 150 years, folks, because he was the leader. I want to apply this here again. I want to bring it down to the home. You know what? Maybe your home was in a mess, and sir, you're the man of the home. You know what? Maybe you could spare yourself a divorce if you would be the kind of leader in your home that God wants you to be. And that doesn't mean lay in bed on Sunday morning and not come to church. Your wife's hunting somebody to respect. You got to be that kind of man. Your wife's hunting someone that she can put her confidence and reliability in. And you wonder why she doesn't respond. Because you're not that kind of man. And when you're that kind of leader, and I emphasize again, if you're one listening this morning and you're a husband and wife and you're having family problems, sir, I'm speaking to the man. It is your responsibility first to get things rolling, and your wife will usually follow the pattern that you set. And then you wonder why you don't go to church, why you don't say your prayers, why you don't get your Bible out and read it and share that with your Bible, and you wonder why there's no respect, why she does not respect you, why her eyes are somewhere else. Why the communication is not there. You're not the man God wants you to be. You're not doing things that demand respect. Boy, when this king, he turned the whole city around because he did what God wanted him to do. And I imagine he had some opposition. You always do when you take a stand for the Lord. In fact, the Lord tells us in Peter, said, Beloved, believe it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. But you're still that leader. You still do what God wants you to do. And then you have a foundation for the Lord to shed his blessings and to work things out. And they always will if you do what the Lord wants you to do. Yes, we're saved by grace, and so was Nineveh. We are saved by grace in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then we go on to verse 10, and we find out, now we're saved in verses 8 and 9, but then 10, God says, you're created unto good works. Absolutely. The Lord said, I bought you with a price, and you are saved unto good works. I want to change your life. I want to change your habits. I want to change your desires. And if you study my word, get in fellowship with my people, pray to me, look in my word, I'll direct you so that you will be convicted of the things that I want you convicted of. And you'll change the things I want you to change so I can make you effective to somebody else. And so I can spare you a lot of sorrow and heartache and a lot of destruction in your life. Just as God said, Jonah, you go on to Nineveh and tell that king, and if he'll do it, I'm going to spare them destruction. Your family, your life, your home might be right on the verge of destruction here this morning. And maybe it's because you haven't proclaimed a fast. Maybe it's, I'm not saying that literally now. It happened back here in Nineveh. But maybe it's because you haven't proclaimed the Lord. Maybe you've let your family get in that shape. But it's not too late. Maybe it's just around the corner before a divorce is there. And I tell you, folks, it breaks my heart when I see that and talk to so many people where you see the families just getting shattered to pieces because they're violating some of these principles. The man is not the man of the house, does not do the things to be respected. And yet, maybe you're listening this morning and maybe disaster is just around the corner for you, and you know it, you sense it. You know that the marriage is on the rocks. But yet, you can save it. You really can. But there's not time to wait around. There wasn't time for Jonah to play around. Nineveh only had 40 days. Maybe you've got 4 days. Maybe you've got 10 days. I don't know. But I know this. Right now, it is not too late. If you'll do what Jonah told the king of Nineveh to do, he said, you believe God and get your evil ways and quit doing those things, and God will bless you and spare your city. You know what? I'm applying this to the home now because that seems to be the burden of my heart this morning. When you talk to so many people, you're seeing Christian people get divorced. You're seeing them get separated because they're not applying principles and doing things that they can have a happy marriage. They're wrecking their own lives because they're not doing it. Maybe you've just got a few days before disaster is about to strike your home, but you can save it. There's still time. First of all, you cry out unto the Lord as the king did here. You proclaim a fast. What do you mean? How will that be literally? You stop and analyze the situation here, and you proclaim things are going to be different. You proclaim you're going to stop right now, begin to talk this thing over with the Lord, and ask the Lord to forgive you for the things you've done, and then start to change those things right now. Now, this king down here, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, we're going to let them turn every one of his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from their fierce anger that we perish not? He didn't know enough about the Lord or the Word of God, but he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give the Lord cause to spare us. And I'll tell you what, you start doing some of the things, and some of the things maybe you're involved in or not doing that you know is absolutely contrary and wrong to what God wants you to do. And you start changing some of those things, and who can tell if God will add his blessings and change his mind. And on our next broadcast, we're going to talk about this word repent here and bring it out when the Bible says God's not a God that repents, and here we find out he did. How do you reconcile the two together? So we'll be covering that in our next broadcast. But the important thing practically is you might be at the point of Nineveh where you don't have much time left, but you can save the situation now if you'll get with it. Cry out unto the Lord. Lord, I'm going to put away the evil things I've been going. Haven't been going to church, but I'm going to start going to church. Haven't been reading my Bible, I'm going to start reading my Bible. You pull and put the children to bed and get your Bible out at night an hour before you go to bed or so. And say, honey, get your wife out here. I'm going to sit down here and read. Let's read a chapter out of our Bible. And I'll tell you, and you start walking in the light, see us in the light, you're going to start to have fellowship back with your husband and your wife. You're going to start having fellowship together. And after all, as we apply this, if God spared the city of Nineveh for 150 years, he can spare your marriage, your life, and your happiness if you'll turn to him, and then if you'll do away with the things that you know are displeasing to God and start attending church, start reading your Bible, start having fellowship together, start praying together, you'll find out that you're going to spare your marriage, and you're going to put a lot of happiness back in your life. Whatever broken pieces are there, the Lord can put them back together. I hope you'll turn to him this morning, but most of all, if you're lost, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We've enjoyed being with you this Sunday morning. We're going to announce in our coming messages here about a Bible Institute here at Faith Baptist Church that's called Faith Baptist Bible Institute. We'll be announcing on that in our next few broadcasts. It's going to open up here in the second week in May and start our regular one night a week here of three courses that are going to be taught. We hope to increase that to two, three, and maybe even four nights a week as the interest increases here. We'll be announcing more about that as the time goes on. Our time's gone. Take a minute, sit down, write us. We always are glad to hear from you. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.